Okay, Rabbi, the last daf of Masechtas Erevin in this cycle. We're starting at the very top of the Yomid where the Gemara begins. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneyem Mikra Echad Dorshu. What is Rabbi Yochanan referring to? So let's go back quickly to our Mishnah of yesterday, the middle of Kuf Dalid Amud Beis. You remember about the unfortunate situation where they found a dead sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, when we talk about a sheretz, we don't mean it like we use the term sheretz colloquially, that they found a dead water bug. We're talking about one of the Shmoyne Shrotzim, which is enumerated both in Sefer Vayikra and Sefer Devarim, where it talks about the Shmoyne Shrotzim. You have the Choler and the Achbar and the Haltor and the Tinshomes, eight of them all together.
Why would the Torah feel the need to repeat it twice?
That's a very good question. Devarim is what we call Mishnah Torah, and Mishnah Torah Devarim encapsulates and summarizes virtually all of the mitzvahs in the Torah. That's why it's called Mishnah. Mishnah meaning it's a review, a second rendition of the mitzvahs. Virtually all of the mitzvahs which are set forth earlier in Shmois, Vayikra, and Vamidbar are repeated again in Sefer Devarim.
Chazara.
So it's both in Parsha Shmini. It's not just a question of the Shmini Shiratzim. For instance, the kosher and non-kosher animals, the kosher and non-kosher fish, Ophos. All of this is repeated. It's in Parshas Shmini initially, and then repeated again in Parshas Re'eh, I believe. Baruchim to you. Anyway, so they found such a dead rodent in the Beis HaMikdash. What do you do with it? So we started off the Mishnah, you try to get rid of it. There was a Machloikas, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broyken, Rabbi Yehuda. Do you get rid of it by going and picking it up with the Kohen's Hamina, which is the Avnate? That's the Kohen's belt, one of the four of the Big Dikahuna. Or Rabbi Yehuda said you'd pick it up with a Tzevesh Shel Eitz, with a tongs made out of wood. Shloi L'Rabbi Sisatoma. Okay, so that was one Machloikis we had in the Mishnah. But then the second Machloikis, which is what occupies us at this point, is Mehechon Moitzian Oisoi. There's a big problem of removing a dead sheretz on Shabbos from the Beis HaMikdash, because it's Mukta. And so therefore we want to try to minimize the possibility of a person going and taking Mukta out of the Beis HaMikdash. So we had a machloikis between Rav Shimon ben Anas and Rav Akiva. From which part of the Beis HaMikdash do we have to remove, eliminate, eradicate, and eject this sheretz on Shabbos? So we saw in the Mishnah two lines before the wide lines, Mehechon Moitzian Oisoi, from which point in the Beis HaMikdash do we take it out? Minahechol, Umina Ulam, Umibeina Ulam Vela Mizbeach. So we're starting kind of backwards. In other words, start from the Kodesh Kedoshim. Obviously, we're not going to find a sheretz in the Kodesh Kedoshim throughout the year, because nobody goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim throughout the year. The only time that one goes in is on
Yom Kippur.
And who goes in on Yom Kippur? The Kohen Gadol. So throughout the year, this is really not a practical issue. But, Chas V'Shalom, if you find one of these dead sheretzim in the Heichel, which is the Kodesh, right before you get into the Kodesh Kedoshim, that's where we have, for instance, the Shulchan and the Menorah, as well as the Mizbeach HaKetores, that's the smaller Mizbeach, Mizbeach Hazov. Anyway, so Mitzian Oisim in the Heichel, you go and take out the sheretz from the Heichel, and from the Ulam, which is the antechamber right before the Heichel, Umibeno Ulam Vela Mizbeach, meaning in the Azara. Everybody knows that the Azara was 20, when you enter into the Azara from the Ezras Noshim, there's 22 Amos. The first 11 Amos is called the Ezras Yisrael, because Yisrael is only supposed to go there the first 11. The next 11 Amos are the Ezras Kohanim. After that, you have the huge Mizbeach in between, and then you have another 22 Amos between the Mizbeach and the Ulam. Or like the Mishnah says, Min Ulam Vela Mizbeach. So if you find the sheretz in any one of those places, take it out, Divrei Rav Shimon ben Anas. What about the rest of the Azara if you were to go and find a sheretz? So as the Mishnah is going to tell us in a moment, you do a big cover-up. What's the cover-up? Koifin olav pesachter. Pesachter means a huge copper pot. You go and take it and put it upside down over the sheretz. Anybody seeing that on the ground, for instance, will realize, What is a psachter doing on the ground?
Upside down.
There must be a dead sheretz inside, and therefore everybody will stay away. But that's the rest of the azar. Rabbi Kiva says, no, we go one step further. Kol mokrim shechayoven al zdoinoi koris val shigosei chatas. This is the first two wide lines in the Mishnah. Kol mokrim shechayoven al zdoinoi koris val shigosei chatas, which means the entire azara. If a person chas v'sholem is tamei and comes into the azara b'toma, then chulila there's a din of achiyev koris if he did it b'meizid b'shogig korim chatas. And from there, Misham Moitzi and Oisai. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva has a broader, if you will, reach in terms of eliminating and eradicating and ejecting this dead sheretz. While according to Rabbi Shimon Menanis, we only take it out min haheichel ulam, and the 22 amos between the Mizbeach and the ulam. According to Rabbi Kiva, if you find in any one of the four going places, and in any other part of the Azara, in all of those places, aros, get the sheretz out of here, either through the use of the avnate of the kohen or by using a tzevish aleitz like we had before. One second, we'll talk about it in a moment. V'sharkal makoymes, but once again, anywhere else, meaning according to Shimon Menanis, anywhere else in the Azara and beyond, and according to Mekiva, anything beyond the Azara, we put on this big, tremendous kli. The Gemara wanted to use this as the basis of understanding Shmuel's halacha. Now, before we get to Shmuel, I heard Brother Shai had a question. Yes, Brother Shai.
I was just saying, it seems like this is a kli.
You're talking about the avnate?
No,
the psachter?
No, the tongs.
The tongs, okay.
Because it's two together.
Correct.
Doesn't that make that a kli that would be kabbal tumah?
Okay, it's a very good question, and Rashi already addressed that question yesterday, and Rashi says it's sevishal eitz, since it's pshute kli eitz, it would not be kabbal tumah. In other words, there is no...
even though it's fashioned together.
Shovel?
Even the tongs typically have something holding them together.
There's probably some sort of screw and some sort of mechanism that allows it to be a tong. You're absolutely right. Although, of course, you could have tongs like you have for sugar, for instance, where it's just an upside down U and you squeeze it together and it opens up and closes up. Anyway, but this Tzevishul Eitz, both sides, all sides, top, bottom, mid, whatever, everything was Pshuta Kli Eitz. There was no indentation. There was no place for a Kli Kibble.
Like chopsticks.
Oh, now we have a practical understanding. It's just like chopsticks.
So that it wasn't enclosed?
What
is that
what that means?
Pshuta Kli Eitz means it was totally flat. It's not like this cup can accept something.
Okay.
And therefore, as halacha is, a pshuta kli eitz, when it's totally flat, is not mekabel tumah. It doesn't receive any tumah. Exactly. That's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says we use it tzevishul eitz. Shloi l'rabbis is a tumah. We don't want to make it worse than it is until now.
That would mean a ruler.
Not mekabel tumah. Assuming that it doesn't have that metal edge to it. If it's right. Just plain.
And no holes.
And no holes. It's just totally flat. It's not mekabel tumah.
I would have thought that when it's bound together, that makes it a kli. In other words, because it has...
I frankly had similar thoughts, but you see from our Mishnah and from our Gemara, that it's not the case.
Me too.
Good. So then it's all Baruch Shem Yehem Zuman, and we continue on to the Gemara. So in the beginning of the Gemara, we had a fascinating halacha of Shmuel. The halacha of Shmuel is almost hair-raising. What did Shmuel say right after the Mishnah? Om Rav Tevi Bar Kisna Om Shmuel. Hamachnis Tmei Sheretz Lamigdosh. Chayiv. Sheretz Atzmoy is potter. The Tmei Sheretz that we're referring to is you take a kli which was susceptible to Mekabel Tumah. In other words, for instance, it was kli eitz, and then in fact it did have a base kibble that it was able to, in other words, like a spoon, or like a dish, or like a bowl, that could be a kli kibble, it's mekabel tumah. Or for the same matter, any kli matchis is mekabel tumah, whether it happens to be have a kli kibble, or even if it's flat.
What's matchis?
Matchis is metal. I would think matechet, right? Gotcha. You know Hebrew better than me. Now you know very well. Anyway, so getting on to our Gemara, so if you were to go and bring in such a kli that became tumah because it got in contact with a sheretz, guess what? You're now going to be over an iser, bringing in this Tomei Kli into the base of Mikdash. What would be the punishment? Rashi says you would get kareis. The Vilna Goyin in Hagoyis Hagroa says it's a tois in the Rashi, and you only get malchus. But it's in an aveir. What's the aveira? It says in the passing, Mizochem anekevet tishalchu leitamus machaneim ashani shoychem b'soychem. Don't bring in any tuma into the base of Midrash. Mizochem anekevet tishalechu, nish tishalchu. Anyway, however, what happens if you bring the sheretz itself, the sheretz that was the cause of all of this tuma? Potter, then you're potter. Why? Gemara based on a drash about whether you had tarib b'mikvah or not, which we had yesterday in the Gemara. Anyway, what the Gemara says in the very bottom of Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, the last two lines, the Gemara quoted our Mishnah, Kahani Tanoi Dinan, Mehechen Moitzian Oisei, from where do you have to go and take out the Tumah? My Labakim Efigi, the Machloik is between Reb Shimon Ben Nanis, whether you take it out solely from the Heichel, Ulam, and the 22 Amis, but otherwise you do a cover-up. While the Rebbe Kiva says, no, you take out the Sheretz even from the entire Azara. L'choy the Machloikis is, in this halacha of Shmuel, that Shmuel says that if you bring a Sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, you're potter. By the way, the person who's bringing it has to make sure that he holds it with a tzevesh shel eitz, because if he himself is holding it, then he himself happens to be tamei. And a person who's a tamei sheretz comes into the Beis HaMikdash, he's also chayiv.
If he's also using the avnet to...
Or he can use the avnet. No, but that would not work. Because the avnet, if it goes and touches the sheretz, the avnet becomes tamei. And you're not allowed to bring in a tamei sheretz, meaning anything that became tamei as a result of the sheretz. The reason why the Mishnah said take the avnet was because we want to take it out as quickly as possible. Don't wait an extra second.
Don't delay.
Rabbi Yehuda says, I prefer delaying, wait until somebody's able to bring in these wooden tongs. Why? So that we don't spread the tumah to the avnet or to any other object. That was the machloikis yesterday, but that's really as an aside. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara again, what's the machloikis between Rabbi Shimon ben Anas and Rabbi Kiva? The man the yomah me azara loy, meaning Rav Shimon ben Anas, it says, don't take out the sheretz from the rest of the Azara, only the 22 Amos, but the rest of the Azara, leave the sheretz there and just do a cover-up. He holds that if you brought the sheretz into the Mikdash, it's not the nicest thing to bring as a present to the base of Mikdash. No question. But you're potter. And therefore, if it's there, it's unfortunate, but we're not going to relax Hilchos Tumah as a result, but rather go and cover over it with a Pesachter. So why do we take it out from the Ulam or from the Heichel? Says Rashi, because of the Kovod HaShchinah, the Chachamim relaxed their din in those very, very supercharged Amos of the Beis HaMikdash. The Heichel, the Ulam, the 22 Amos, boy, these are really... almost Kodesh Kadoshim. Therefore, the Chacham said, okay, there you take the sheretz out. But the rest of the Azara, leave it there. Because even if somebody were to bring it in, he's potter. So you see, it's nisht geferloch. Suggest do a kofra. Man, the Yomar of Kiva says, no, chas v'sholem, get it out. Mikula Azara, kosover chayiv. He holds that if you bring a sheretz to the Meis Mikdash, you are chayiv. And just like you're chayiv, if you bring it in, then get it out as soon as possible. And that's how the Gemara wanted to say that Shmuel Talacha is the machloikis in our Mishnah. So now we start off on Rabbi Yochanan on the top of the Amid. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Says the top Rashi, li inyan iyule kuli alma hamachnish eretz is chayov. Everybody agrees, even Rav Shimon ben Anas, as well as of course Rabbi Kiva, that if you bring in a sheretz yechayv, not like Shmuel. What's then the machloikis, whether or not you have the entire Azara to leave it in, or whether you take it out of the Azara except for the 22 Amis, I mean, forget, did you take it out of the Heichol and the Ulam and the 22 Amis, but not the rest of the Azara? It all is really historically based. What's the historical basis? Ushnei Mikra Echa Dorshu, both of them are darshing the following pasuk. The pasuk that we bring now is from Divrei HaYomim, and the Gemara tells us about, or the pasuk in Divrei HaYomim is telling us about a very sad period in Jewish life, which was followed up by a very happy period. What am I referring to? There was a king by the name of Ochaz. And the king Ochaz was considered to be one of the worst kings that we ever had in Klal Yisrael. So much so that the Gemara at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin says that Ochaz is one of those choice people that has no chedek li'olam haba. What did Ochaz do so terrible? One of the things that he did was he brought into the Beis Mikdash, in the holy, holy sanctuary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the holy Beis Mikdash, he brought in idols and more idols and more idols. Idols over the entire Beis Hamikdash, Rachman Litzlan.
Dafka,
of course, he didn't do it b'shogeg, he did it b'mesed. However, Ma'os HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something fantastic, and that is after Ochaz died, he had a son by the name of Chizkiyo HaMelech. And Chizkiyo HaMelech was one of the most righteous kings that we had throughout the reign of the monarchy in Klal Yisrael. And what did Chizkiyo do? He went and did a major, major cleanup and got rid of all of those idols that his father had brought into the Beis HaMikdash. So what does it say in the Pasuk? Vayevoyu ha-kohanim lepnima Beis Hashem. The Kohanim came in, lepnima, meaning into the Heichal and into the Ulam. Letaher, to go mitairit from all of the Avodah Zarah. Vayutziu eskola tuma, and they took out all of the Avodah Zarah. And also the Tekroivis Avodah Zarah. Tekroivis means those things that were being used as sacrifices for the Avodah Zarah. And he took them all out. The Kohanim took it out. Asher motzu beheichal Hashem. All that they found in the Heichal and that they found in the Ulam. And they took it out, the Chatzar Beis Hashem. And when it came into the Azarah, vayikablu halavim. From this point on, the Kohanim did not continue carrying the idols out, but rather the Kohanim sat idle, and they handed over the dirty work to the Levim to go and remove all the idols from the rest of the Beis Hamikdash, Chutzah, and further out. Nachal Kidron was the Valley of Kidron, and that's where they took out the Avodah Zarah from the Beis Hamikdash.
He also gave them the Krovim.
The Kroivim?
The things that you...
Takroivis, yeah, exactly. Takroivis was the Takroivis. You see Rashi, third line for the top. V'yitzi hatum avodah zorah v'takra v'yiseo, tikra v'yiseo. The Takroivis avodah zorah, what we would call for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a korban, when it refers to avodah zorah, we refer to it as Takroivis. Anyway, Jokti Yetzti Gemara, question is, why did they go and make a switch when they came out of the Heichal and the Ulam into the Azara? Why did they hand over all the Avodah Zarah to the Levim? Why did they hand it over to other Kohanim standing in the Azara that they should go and take it out? So Marasav Midishtani Ba'azara Ba'Levim, the fact that they made now this switch from Kohanim to Levim, Tuma Ba'azara Leker, is a simen. Now the Gemara doesn't mean this literally, Tum Bazar Lekha. Of course there is Hilchis Tum Bazar, like we had in the Gemara in the Amud Beis, that Rabbi Kiva said, Kol Mokim Shechayov and Azdoine Koritz, if Chas Hashalom, a person whose tummy goes into the Azor of the Mezid, Cholil of Chas is a din of Koritz. That's terrible. What he means to say is, says Rashi, if you look at Rashi parallel to our Gemara, Tum Bazar Lekha, go down a line or two, Koloimar Heicha de Isa Hosam, Loichamira Kuli Hai. The Isser of Tumah in the Avodah Zarah. Now, notice we're talking about Avodah Zarah, and the Pasuk refers to the Tumah. And the reason is because the Halach is Avodah Zarah, which happens to be in a Mokai. Avodah Zarah is Ulza Metame. In fact, even Metame, like a mess to a certain extent, that a bias in which you have Tumah is also Tame. So you have to go and eradicate and get all the Tumah, all the Avodah Zarah out. Now the fact that the Kohanim did not continue the procession in the Azorah of taking out the Avodah Zarah, but they handed it over to the Levim, is a similar Chamir Kulehai, that now that they've taken the Avodah Zarah out of the real holy places, such as the Heichal Ulam, now in the Azorah is Nishkeferlich Avada. It still remains Tumah, it's still Avodah Zarah, but it's not that same Isur of having the Avodah Zarah in the Heichal or in the Ulam. Umar Sovar ad Heichad lo yefsha. Okay, so that's the first Mandiyama, and therefore that's Reb Shimon ben Anas. And Reb Shimon ben Anas says, you see that the Azara is already a lower form of Kedusha. It's not as Chomor as the Heichal Ulam, and therefore if you were to go and find the Sheretz in the Azara on Shabbos, you don't have to go and be Mekel in Hilchos Mukta. After all, a dead sheretz is mukta. So therefore, rather keep the din derabbanan, the mukta by a sheretz, go and just do a cover up, don't remove it, because the fact that the sheretz is still there, no, I'm not happy about it. It's not the end of the world. Omar Sav, Rabbi Kiva says, no. The Azor is very, very holy, and therefore we got to get the sheretz out. So why did the Kohanim hand over the duty to remove the Avodah Zarah to Leviim? Why didn't they continue doing it themselves? Omar Sav, Ad Heichadli, Efshar, Leviim, Mafki, Kohanim. The Leviim are not allowed to enter into the Heichal. Even the Kohanim are not supposed to go into the Heichal, unless and until it's the Zman Avodah. For instance, if you have to be Makti the Ketores, like Rashi brings, Va'al Yovei B'chol Eisel HaKodesh Mi Beis LaParoiches. Al Yovei B'chol Eisel HaKodesh means don't go into the Heichal willy-nilly. Or Mi Beis LaParoiches Lefnai V'lefnim into the Kodesh Kedoshim. You cannot go there any day of the week. Mi'at Hashem, when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt B'korav B'yameinu, you're not going to have daily tours of tour guides taking you into the Ulam and into the Heichal, and certainly not Chas Shalom in the Kodesh Kedoshim. While the Yovei B'chol Eisel HaKodesh are not allowed to, even the Kehanim are not allowed to, unless it's Zman Avodah. So therefore the Leviim never would have had an opportunity to enter into the Ulam or the Heichal or the Kodesh Kedoshim, and that's why the man the Yomer says at Heichal Yefshel by Leviim, since the Leviim there's a big sign, no trespassing by Leviim or by Yisraelim, only Kehanim. No, Hamdachnishka Breira is Maf Kehan. The Kehanim go and take out all of the Avodah Zarah from the Ulam and from the Heichal. Abahashi, the Efshar Balaviyim. Once we hit into the Azara, particularly beyond the 22 Amis, when you go to the other side of this Beach, no, Hashi, the Efshar Balaviyim. Since now Leviim are allowed to drain Zach in the Azara, so Lemetami Kehanim, that's why we're not going to have Kehanim do the dirty work anymore of removing the Avodah Zarah. But that's all vis-a-vis. If I have a question, should the Kehanim take it out? Should Leviim take it out? There I have no choice. Leviim cannot take it out from the Ulam and Heichal. So therefore, we let them take it out from the Azar. The Kehanim who are able to enter into the Ulam and Heichal, they go in and take it from there. Barry has a question. I see he has his hand raised. Yes, Barry.
Yeah, it's bothering me is that we have a case where the repairs are needed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Yisrael to go in there out of necessity.
I'm sorry, when is that case? I'm sorry?
When we have repairs needed.
Okay, so that's the next Gemara. Turn it up on.
The other question I have is,
yes.
Muksa is something that seems more midrabanan than midraisa.
There's no question. Muksa is derabanan. No question.
So, in Shvist Mikdash, why are we so fighting about Muksa? This may have been a core question on yesterday. Why are we so concerned about Muksa if it's a Shvist Mikdash? If it's a Shvist, why are we just relaxing? Get it out of there. Is there midrabanan? It's in the Mikdash. Arise.
Very, very good question. If you remember, a couple of days ago, we focused on these inyanim, and if you go back to the Tosfos on Kuf Beis Amud Beis, that's the second Tosfos from the top of the Amud, Kuf Beis Amud Beis. The last, it's the second Tosfos, Elyon Kan VeKan. Do you have that? You'll please look at the last 6-7 lines of the Tosfos. Tosfos brings this Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, the Nirlari, Dafila Tzira Elyon Hud Rabbanim, the Shvus Gedoy L'Kazeh, Loi heitiru b'mikdash. Even though we have that general rule, as you just said, ein shvus b'mikdash, but there's some things which are considered to be shvus gedoyla, loi heitiru b'mikdash. Now, what is a shvus gedoyla? What is a shvus katana? Tosis doesn't give us the guidelines on that. So we'd have to look at later achroinim that would presumably try to find some sort of pattern where it's a shvus gedoyla and where it's a shvus katana. But bottom line is, there is no such general rule that applies. One size fits all. Some shavusim they were makbid, some shavusim they were not makbid.
How would you translate shavus?
Shavus means a gezeder that the rabbis instituted because they were concerned that people would violate isurim d'oraisa. D'oraisa means biblical isurim or prohibitions. Anyway, so getting back to our gemara. So what Rabbi Yochanan has said now is, Rabbi Yisai, what you said on the bottom of the Amud, that Shmuel's halacha, that a person who brings a sheretz into the Mikdash is potur. Youth wanted to say that this is a machloikis between Rabbi Shimon ben Anas and Rabbi Akiva, says Rabbi Yochanan, no sir. It could very well be that everybody holds that machnes sheretz is chayiv. The machloik is whether or not you should get the sheretz out of here. Arois depends on this understanding of the pasuk from Divrei HaYomim, whether because of the somewhat reduced kedusha in the Azara, whether I rather leave the sheretz there covered over and don't be mekel and hilchois tumah, hilchis muktza, I should say, don't be mekel hilchis muktza, or do I say, no, this is geferlich, this is terrible, try to eradicate it from the entire Azara, like Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Akiva says the only reason why we didn't eradicate it from the Azara, why we gave it over to the Levium, because we didn't have a choice until now. The Levium couldn't get into the Heichel, into the Ulam, and that's why we waited until the Kahanim came out, we gave it to the Levium. But Chulila, don't in any way, shape, or form try to save from this, that to derive from this, infer from this, that the Azara is any way less kodesh. Of course, it's really kodesh. We don't want any shiratzim there, and therefore remove it from the entire Azara, even though you, with that you have to go and be moichel on hilchos mukta. Okay, on to the brisa. This is what Barry was referring to a moment ago, and he said, what about when repairmen have to get into the ulam of the heichel? It's Tan Rabban. We learned in the brisa, ha'koyl nechnosen beheichel livno is lesakin o lehoitzi is ha'tumah. When it comes to going into the Heichel, although there's an Isur al Yovei b'chol Eis al HaKoidish, you cannot stand willy-nilly come for a tour and see what's going on in the Heichel. However, there are, of course, exceptions. You can go and live nice if you want to go and build the Heichel itself. In other words, at the initial building of the Heichel, somebody has to build it. It's not going to happen by snapping the fingers. Mi'atchem the Bayis HaShlishi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring down from Shemayim. But until now, the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, builders had to build it. So anybody can go and build it. Or the Sakin, like any building, from time to time, you need repair and maintenance. Or the Haitzi Satoma, or any time that Chas HaShom this Toma, like the Avodah Zarah of Achaz, or Shrotzim, or whatever. Even though Hakol Nechnasim, or Mitzvah Bakanim. First priority, we allow the Kahanim to do the building, as well as the Tikkun, as well as removing the Tumah. In ancient Kahanim, what happens if there are no Kahanim around? For instance, for building and repairs, we don't have any Kahanim that are skilled in those crafts. Then Nechnasim Levim, then we let Levim go in. Ancient Levim, there are no Levim. Nechnasim Yisraelim, then we let Yisraelim go in. The Idi, Tehoyin in, Temeyin Lai. In all cases, we rather want a Torah person to go into the Heichel, if he's building or if he is being Masakin. And even Lahoitzi Satoma, if he takes it with the Tzeves Shaleitz, he won't become Tamei. So we want a Torah person to go in and not a Tamei person. So by concluding with this, the Idi Tehoirin, what the Bryce is telling us is that what happens if, in fact, I have a Kohen who is Tamei, who can do repairs, and I have Yisrael who's a Tohoir and he can do repairs, I rather have the Yisrael who's Tohoir rather than the Kohen who is Tamei. So, if everybody at Tohoirim, Kohen first, Levi second, Yisrael third. However, if the Kohanim or Leviim happen to be Tameim, then the Tohir goes first to have the Yisrael who's Tohir go into the Heichel and do the repairs rather than the Kohen who's Tamei. However, Rav Huna, Rav Kahana, who was an Amoira, Talmud of Rav, Misayeya Kahani, he went and assisted the Kahanim. What do you mean that he assisted the Kahanim? They told you Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana brought another Braisa. Mitoch Shinemar, since it says in the Pasuk that we've been quoting, Achal Paroiches lo Yavoi, Yoch lo Yuh Kahanim, Bali Mumin Nechnosen Beno Ulam Velam Mizbeach, La Sois Rikuei Fachim, I would go and think that since it says Achal Paroiches lo Yavoi, don't get even close to the Paroiches, I would think that the Kahanim, if they are Bali Mumin, Yoch lo Yuh Kahanim Bali Mumin, Kahanim that have some sort of blemish that disqualifies them from doing avodah, I would think that they cannot go beinu ulam lamizbech lasoyis rikui fachim to go and put up rikui fachim. Rikui fachim are thin plates, usually of gold. These were used either for covering the walls of the kodesh kadoshim or of the heichal, etc. Talmud loymar ach cholak says ach elaparoiches liyavei. What does it come to tell you? Mitzvah bitmimim lichat chila. If I have a Kohen who happens to be a Tam meaning that he is without blemish, Of course, he should go first. But Ein Shem Tmima, what happens if, unfortunately, the only ones that are available are Kehanu or Bali Mumin? Nichnosim Bali Mumin. Same thing is, Mitzvah Tehoidim, Lechatchila have a Tahar go in. But Ein Shem Tmima, what happens with all the Kehanim and Nevach Tamei? Nichnosim Tmeim. Then a Tamei goes in. And Idi V'idi Kehanim in Yisraelim Loi. But in all cases, a Kohen has priority over a Yisrael. So even if the Kohen is Tamei, and the Yisrael is Tohoyer, we have the Kohen Tamei get priority to go into the Heichal before the Yisrael who's Tohoyer. Wow! Why does Rav Kahana say that? That's what the Gemara said, that Rav Kahana Misayeya Kahani. The term Misayeya Kahani gives the impression that Rav Kahana has a certain, if you will, prejudice for all of his family and all of his Shevet. Since he is a Kohen, Rav Kahana, therefore he wants to go and support all the Kahanim and say, Rabbi, I want you to know that a Kohen Tamei comes before any Yisrael, even a Yisrael Tohar. That's the Poshep Shat in our Gemara.
Yeah, now, conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest? That's the Lashem Messiah Kahani, that he's supportive. He's the supportive of not only of the efforts, but of the stature, the elevated stature of the Kohanim. A Kohen Tamei goes in before a Yisrael who is Tar. Now, this Gemara is fertile ground for a lot of discussion, not only among the Achroinim, but among the Rishonim. And first and foremost, we have four or five Toises throughout Shas that talk about this Gemara. Why do they talk about this Gemara? Because we have several Gemaras throughout Shas that touch on Rav Kahana's status. The first one over here, where it says, Rav Kahana, Misayeya Kahani. Now, it doesn't tell us what his status was, whether he was a Kohen Levi or Yisrael, although normally you would think Rav Kahana is a Kohen. And in fact, that's what the Rabbeinu Chananel says, Befeirish. If you look at the Rabbeinu Chananel, the first wide line in my Gemara, I don't know in your Gemaras, I think in the article it's halfway down. Anyway, the first wide line in my Gemara, it says, Om Rav Huna, in the middle of the line, Rav Kahana, the Kahana who, he was a Kohen, Messiah Kahani, he was Messiah, he supported the Kahana. And you found that?
Three lines from the wide lines.
Three lines for the wide lines, okay. Probably depends on which edition of the article too. Okay, so anyway, so Rabbeinu Chananel says very clearly, Rav Kahana de Kahanahu, that he was a Kohen. There are two other Gemaras that also suggest the same. If you go to Masechtas Bava Basra Daf Kuf Yud, it says there in the Gemara that Rav said to Rav Kahana some sound advice. I'll give you all the Marma Kohenis later, Mendy. It says in the Gemara, Nitoish Nevelosa Bishuk. Rav said to Rav Kahana, you want to make money in this world, don't go and shnar. Even if the work that you have to do is work which is really, really dirty work. For instance, netoish neveilosa b'shuk, your job is when you find a dead horse, a dead cow, a dead sheep, whatever in the shuk, your job is to go and strip it and to take that hide and make it into leather. It is very, very dirty work. But nevertheless, do that rather v'loy teima, and don't say kahanana, ich bin a koyin, and therefore it's pasnish for me. So you see from that Gemara, it's mashma that he's a koyin. I had such a situation about 25 years ago in Yerushalayim. There was a very distinguished looking person going around, handsome, he looked like he was a very smart, intelligent individual, and he came over to me for an adava. So I said to him, listen, you're not a schlepper. Baruch Hashem, I see the hasakop. You look very presentable. Why don't you go and make a living? Why are you going and shnari for money? It's pasnish. So he told me, believe me, if you could get me a job, I would take it in 1 second, no problem. So I was staying at the time at the Malone Merkaz. Today it's called the Prima Palace. And I told him, okay, you're sure? Definitely. I said, I was in the hotel, I'm still in the hotel at that time for a few days, and I spoke to the maitre d' and I asked him, do you have any positions available? And he said, yes. The reason why I asked them is because I saw that all of, not all, but many of the waiters in the hotel were all Arabs. And I said, why do you have Arab waiters? Why don't you take Jewish waiters and give them parnasa? And he says, because a Jew is not going to take this job. I said, okay, if I found you, sure. So I told this distinguished person, you told me any job, would you be willing to be a waiter in the hotel?
Not me.
He says, I should be a waiter. Don't you know that on one side of my family, I'm an Einikel of the Vilna Goyen, and on the other side of the family, I happen to be an Einikel of the Baal Shem. Can you imagine the Vilna Goyen and Baal Shem is an Einikel? I should go and be a waiter in the hotel. What about this Gemara? Don't say I'm a Akroiser of Kahana, I'm a Akroiser Koyin. Anyway, that's the end of that story. But getting back now to yet a third Gemara. The Gemara Masechtas Kedushin and Daf Ches. It says, it's talking about over there, Pinyin Aben, and it's a Pinyin Aben, you normally give either money, or you can give a money equivalent. And it says, Rav Kahana Shokal Sudra B'Pinyin Aben. Rav Kahana, when he was offered a pinyin aben, he agreed not to take the 5 shkalim. He took a sudr. Sudr meaning a handkerchief or a shawl or a scarf. And the reason the Gemara says over there is because he was very, very makbid always to go with his head covered. And therefore, he needed extra supply of yarmulkes, extra supply of hats or turbans. He would take that. For him, it was worth, he had the value of 5 shkalim. So from all three of those Gemaras, it's mashma that Rav Kahana was in fact a kohen, like it's mashma from our Gemara, like Rabbi Nachman says. However, there are other Gemaras, a Gemara Masechtas Chulin on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis, where it says, it talks about the Matonis Kahuna, Matnois Kahuna. Matnois Kahuna include the Zroya Lechayayin Vakeva. Those are 3 parts of every animal that you shech, that you have to give to the Kahana. So Rav Kahana said to his fellow peers, he said, I want you to know that I eat all the time matnas kahuna based on my wife, because my wife is a bas koyin, and that Gemara holds that a kohenis also is entitled to get the matonis, and that's why I get the matonis. Rashi says, Rav Kahana Yisrael hava, he was Yisrael, the ishtoi kohenis, and his wife was a kohenis. Wow. Similarly, there's another Gemara Masechtas Pesachim and Daf Mem Tes, where the Gemara says that Rav Kahana had to leave Golis and go to Eretz Yisrael, and he said about himself, Ilav the Nesivas Kahanta, if it wasn't for the fact that I married a Bas Koyin, Loi Galoi, I would not have had to go to Eretz Yisrael, I would have stayed in Bavel. The Gemara doesn't explain exactly what the reason was, why, because he married a Bas Koyin. This is the Maloya Royim. Okay, we don't have to get into the details. But again, from that Gemara is mashma that Rav Kahana was simply a Yisrael and he married a Bas Koyin. So, don't we have a stira? What was Rav Kahana? Was he a Koyin or was he not a Koyin? So Tosfos in a few places has 2 answers. Answer number 1, the truth of the matter was that really he was not a Koyin and not like the Rabbeinu Hananel. And when Rav Kahana Messiah Kahani, he only had the name, just like we find today. Many people by the name of Mr. Cohen or Rabbi Cohen who are not really Kohanim.
Ein Kan Cohen.
Ein Kan Cohen. You have people by the name of Khan, you have the people of the name of Cohen, but the name of Katz, who we know are not Kohanim. So therefore, Rav Kahana was not a Cohen. It says that Rav gave him an Eitzah Toiva, and he told him, go and rather strip the hides off of Nevelois and don't say I am a Kohen. He meant to say, don't say that my name is Rav Kahana and therefore it's pastish for me to go and be Poishin Nevela B'Shuk. Or the other Gemara Kedusha where it says that Rav Kahana took a Sudra B'Pinyin Aben, not that he took it, but that his wife took it for Pinyin Aben, and that Gemara holds that even women can go and take a Pinyin Aben. I've never seen that, but at least according to that sheet in the Gemara, that women can go and take a Pinyin Aben. And she specifically said, give me a Sudra for my husband for Rav Kahana. So that's one way of learning, but Barry wants to tell us the second way that Tosis learns, and that is Barry.
There were 2 Rav Kahanas. We learned from the Gemara Mitzachas Brachos. You mentioned it actually in the Siman Brachos many, many years ago in the previous Machzer. There's a Sira, Rav Kahana, and Brachos,
Exactly right. So that's the other Toisus. Toisus in Bava Basra gives a second teretz, as well as the Toisus in Chulin, that in fact there were two Rav Kahanas. One Rav Kahana was a Koyin, like our Gemara, we can learn like Rabbeinu Chananel, and there was another Rav Kahana that was not a Koyin. And so therefore, that's why he said, I'm only eating the matanas because of my wife, and not because of myself. Thank you very much, Barry, for reminding us. In fact, there were two Rav Kahanas. That's what it says in Toisus in a couple of places. And he have all the Imar Mekoymis, he can look at all that. Anyway, so fascinating, and we continue on. Ibailo, we're on to the second wide line. Remember, Rav Kahana, who is Mesayeya Kahani, said that a Kohen always goes before Yisrael, even if the Kohen is a Balmum, he goes before Yisrael. Even if the Kohen is a Tama, he goes before the Yisrael. But now the question is, among the Kahanim themselves, Ibailo, Tami u Balmum, Ezmen Nichnas, who should rather go in to do the repairs to the walls and to the maintenance there in the Heichel or the Ulam? Who should do it? Is it the Kohen who's Tameh or the Kohen who's a Balmum? Is Rav Chiya Barashi Omer Rav Tameh Nichnas? Rather the Tameh should go in, do Ishtari Bavoides Tzibur, because after all, the Tameh sometimes can do the avoida, not on a daily basis. But for instance, on Erev Pesach, where you need to have the maximum number of Kehanim available, what happens if Roiv of the Kehanim happened to be Tomei? Everybody's got to bring the Karm Pesach. Okay? Tumahutra Betzibur. So there are occasions, rare occasions, where a Koyin Tomei can do the avoida. But a Koyin Balmum can never, ever do the avoida. So therefore, he goes into to do the repairs in the Hechel. Rav Loza Oimer, Balmum Nechnas, the Ishtri Bachilas Kodshin. Even though the Balmum, unfortunately, cannot do the Avoida, but he is entitled to go and eat. He doesn't, by the way, get an automatic Chelek. However, he can be invited in. Come on in, and he can go and eat from the Kodshin together with all of his brethren, the other Kahan. However, a Tamei can never eat from Kachim. That's why the Gemara tells us that according to Beloza, the Balmum has a certain priority over the Koyin who is a Tamei. So, Machlekes.
This is Rav Beloza the Amora.
This is Rav Beloza the Amora. Since he's arguing with Rav, he must be the Amora. Correct.
Archway has it Rabbi Elazar.
Well, what can I tell you? But when since you have Rav, typically it's not only Rav, it's Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Omer Rav,
right.
And it's Rav Lozer that's arguing with him, so right. Therefore it would be Rav Lozer who is the Amoira, who is known as Rav Lozer ben Pedos, as opposed to Rav Lozer the Tana, who is Rav Lozer ben Shemua. Barry has something to say.
No, I just have a question about, just now the thing is finished, I was wondering, you have a Sheretz, if someone's carrying it, both become Tamei Tumas Hesus. You carry something Tamei, doesn't it impart too much to you because you're moving?
I'm glad that you asked that question. That there's a long Rashi on the Mishnah of yesterday, and Rashi in the Mishnah says that a sheretz is not metame b'masa, which would include hesed. The only thing you have to worry about is that your avnei will become tame. That's true. But the avnei cannot be metame the koyin, because since the sheretz has the status of an avatama, the avnet would have the status of a rishon l'tuma, and as Rashi points out, a rishon l'tuma is only metame oichlun mashkin, it's not metame odom v'kenim. For those that want to have a primer, they want to have a nice review of Hilchis Tuma v'tara, you have a beautiful Rashi on the Mishnah of yesterday, as well as a Rashi on the Gemara of yesterday. But getting back to our Gemara now, we are getting to the very conclusion of the Masechta. We're going to learn the next four lines, and we're going to leave the last three lines for Wednesday in Yetzir Hashem, when we'll make the official Siyam. But in the meantime, a few lines, Reb Shimon Oimer. We go back to the Lashon of the Mishnah. Reb Shimon says, if you go back to the last two lines of the Mishnah, of the Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, Reb Shimon says, Reb Shimon Oimer, Mokim Shetiru Lecha Chachamim, Milashorcha, Nosnu Lecha, Shlei Tiru Lecha, Elamishim Shvus. The Gemara is going to divide this sentence into two thoughts, and therefore we're going to do the same. We're only going to explain the first part. Mokam hitiru lecha chacham mishalecha nosnu lecha. Period. What does that mean? What Reb Shimon's coming to tell us is that wherever we find a leniency throughout our Masechta, or for that matter, throughout Shas, where the chachamim took one of their gezerois and said, we're going to be mekel, the reason is because originally it belonged to us. meaning that before the Chachamim made their Gezeira, we had the full rights. What happened was the Chachamim added this Gezeira, this layer of Isur, Sehem Hechmiru, Vehem Meitiru. The same rabbis that initially said, no, 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 under certain circumstances will say, yes, yes, yes. Why does Reb Shimon come in this Mishnah? Because we spoke about the halacha of Muktzah. Muktzah, stay away from Muktzah, you can't touch a dead chariot. True. But sometimes the Chum have to be matir, like in the case of our Beis HaMikdash, where you have so much Kedusha, so sometimes the Chum are matir. So that's the Lashon of Reb Shimon, Mokim Shetiru Chachamim. When the Chum gave a heter, in Mishalachon Nosnu Lecha, they're just returning back to you your original rights, about which they had originally made an Isur, and now they are being matir and being more lenient. Now, our Gemara is going to say that this is not going on our Mishnah, although that would seem to be the case. What's bothering the Gemara, I guess, is the lashon of Mishalachon Nosnu Lecha. What was yours, they're giving back to you. What does that mean? And therefore the Gemara says that this halacha of Reb Shimon really goes back far, far back in our Masechta. Back on Daf Nun Beis, we learned it a half a Masechta ago. What does it say there in the Mishnah? Reb Shimon Heicha Koi, and Reb Shimon is going on what halacha? Hasam Koi. Now we learned in the Mishnah. Misha Hechshich Chutz L'Tchum Afilu Am Achas Lo Yikones. Person who went and stayed outside the Tchum, he wakes up Shabbos morning and he realizes, oh, I see my city, I see my house in the distance. The problem is that I'm out of the Tchum and I can't get into the Tchum. Oh, Afilu Am Achas Lo Yikones. Sorry, wherever you're stuck, that's where you're stuck. You can't go even one Am. Reb Shimon Oim Afilu Chamesh Esri Am Yikones. You can go up into 15 Amis. Lefi She'en Am Eshuchais Mamatzin Es Hamidois Mepnei HaToyim. What is all of this about? Reb Shimon says that even though you see that there's a sign saying Ad Kan HaTchum, you can't go beyond here, you can't go beyond the Tchum, you really can go up to another 15 Amis. Why can you go 15 Amos? Because of the fact that when the assayers are doing the assessments, or when the surveyors are doing their surveying, then they automatically are conservative, because we want to make sure that people don't go beyond the Tchum. So when they say the 2,000 Amis end over here, really and truly, you still have another 15 Amis to go that you can play with. In other words, it's really a little bit further, but they're just giving you a little bit of mistake room or error room, just in case you... Sorry?
Protection.
Protection! Just in case you went beyond the Tchum, that they're going to go and throw in another 15 Amis. So, that's what Reb Shimon is saying. When you find yourself right outside your Tchum, and you say, ah, you still have 15 Amis that you can play with, because those 15 Amis really belong to you, meaning that you never lost them in the first place. You are 15 Amis within the Tchum, not outside of the Tchum. And therefore, Mishalachon, Nosnu Lecha, when I said, Reb Shimon, back earlier on Amasechta, that you can go back 15 Amis, don't think that I'm giving you a leniency. I'm really giving you something which belonged to you all along. Because the reason why you're not able to get into the Tchum, do you think so, is because you think the Tchum ends here, but really you have another 15 Amis to go. That's why our Mishnah says, Tikomer Tanikama says now, going over again, they don't do it to exact perfection. Mepnei hatoyim, because of people that might make a mistake. They come in Tanakama, lo yikonis. The Tanakama says, don't go in. No, yikonis, you can go in, because it's not that I'm giving you an extension, another 15 Amis. No. You only have 2,000 Amis. But that line in the sand that says, Ad Kanatchum, that's really at the end of 1985, and they're giving you another 15 just to make sure, in case you make a mistake and you go a little bit too far, that you're still within the Tchum after all. So
what was the case? He was in a different area.
Yeah.
He had 2,000 Amis.
Mm-hmm.
But that 2,000 Amis didn't get to the inside the city.
Mm-hmm.
So he's stuck outside the city.
Mm-hmm.
So you had surveyors going from his other, must have been some other town, and said this is Tchum of or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where, but he's still, it's not he's just stuck, he can't go into his house, but he's still, I assume he still has his 2,000 amos that he originally had.
Okay, we would have to go back to the Gemara over there in terms of what the specifics were. But in general terms, let's assume a person has his house, and he knows where his 2,000 amos are, and he went on Shabbos by accident beyond the 2,000 amos. He went to the 2,010 amma line from his house. We learned in the Gemara before that if you left your tchum, even if you did it by accident, you're stuck there, and you only have 4 amos a room, and you cannot go back into your tchum, back into your home. You're stuck. Says Reb Shimon, no, you still get up to 2,015 amos. And therefore, if you're at 2,010, you could still walk back. It's not that I'm being lenient. Reb Shimon says,
okay, it's not that he's approaching the city. He went out of the tomb.
He went out of the tomb.
Back in.
Right.
Okay.
You could find other stories where, in fact, he's out of the tomb.
Right, that's the easy case.
Okay. Then you know for sure. So, why, in fact, 15 amos? If you remember, Rashi had a very interesting shot because the assayers, the surveyors, hold it from with two hands, and then if you add up together 2,000 amos, it's 40 times two hands, it's 80 times, and if you multiply the number of tzvachim, it comes to cheshbon how you get to the 15 additional amos. Anyway, we're going to stop over here, and in Yetzim, we're going to finish the rest of the Masech, the next 2-3 lines, at the end of davening on Wednesday. So this will give us an opportunity to make a siyum, and we'll have a minyan, and Simi will presumably say kaddish.
I will turn this off.